the topic of Sri Radha and her Manjaris, based on the teachings of Prabhupada Saraswati and Radharas Sudaniti. And we discussed verse 81 yesterday with the commentaries of Anantadas Babaji Maharaj. And the verse was about, it was a glorification of the great devotees, those great Raghunatha Bhaktas that have given up the path of karma and Bhagavad Dharma in the form of Vaidhi Sadhana to intensely to aspire for the what is called Ascharya Gatim. Means the astonishing goal, the astonishing achievement of attaining the sweet love of Radharani. And he glorifies Radharani as being very, very beautiful, very sweet, very effulgent. And so that's basically the verse. I'll read a second translation. I have you. Verse 81. This translation by Prabhupada disciple Dasara Sutta from America. He has publishes books under the name Nectar Books. It says, the most fantastic bodily effulgence of Radhika, brimming full of astounding adolescent sweetness. Radharani is swelling up with exhilarating prema beyond the extreme. Those devotees who constantly meditate on this Radharani with fixed intelligence, deeply absorbed after having given up all fruit of activities, as well as the mental attractions of such ideas, and not even caring for religious devotion to God whatsoever, having achieved the goal flowing with luscious liquid mellows, which is simply an amazing wonder for everyone else. I offer my respectful obeisance unto those great souls. Very flowery English translation, but it's nice. He's a poet and a musician, devotee, so he has that flair. So we'll go to the next verse, which I think is here. Verse 90 of Radha Sudaniti. Is this Vadna? You can hear it. Lilapanga Tarangater Eva Daisho Nilotpala Shamala Dolayat Kanakadri Mandalam Iva Yoma Stanais Tanvatim Utvala Stala Pankajam Iva Bruvam Rase Pare Nyasta Shiradam Anudavatam Brajakishorinam Gatam Bhavaye. Translation. This verse describes a meditation. What do we meditate on? We meditate on the vision and the lila of how the Braja Gopis run to the Rasa dance. It's called Abhisar, love journey, to meet Krishna on the banks of Yamuna. Like last night was Maharas dance. So the Gopis were running, and what they look like is being described in this verse, how the Braja Gopis are running to the Rasa dance. Translation. I meditate on the young adolescent girls of Braj, Brajakishorinam, that run after Sri Radha. Sri Radharani is leading the group. She's the most anxious and eager, enthusiastic to meet Krishna, so no one can keep up with her. The waves, so this describes the eye glances of the gopis, the waves of their playful glances paint all the directions a dark blue color like blue lotus flowers. And the circular reflections cast by their swaying breaths beautify the sky like golden mountains. And the steps of their feet make the whole ground where the Rasalila takes place appear like blooming lotuses. In other words, if the gopis have lotus feet, so wherever they step, it's like the stepping of lotuses. So when you see the ground of the Rasalila, you may think it's the feet of some girls, but it's, in the eyes of the poet, it's red lotus flowers. Poets see the world differently. Musicians see the world differently, hear the world differently, artists see the world differently, and they convey that in their songs and their poetry and their paintings. So he's seeing that these aren't feet, these are lotuses, and these are blue, their feet are dancing and moving on the sand on the bank of the Yamuna, the Rasalila Valley, and those are appearing as, those blue, red lotuses are appearing like the blossoming red lotus flowers. So we'll look at some of the words in this verse just to appreciate the Sanskrit that's been compiled here. The melody, or the, let's say this chandas, the poetic meter of this verse, is the same as Srinivasacharya's Goswami Astakam. Lila panga trangateri vadisho, lila pala shamala, it goes like this. Dola yat kanakadri bandalamiva. So first is Lila Panga Taranga. Very beautiful rhyming and poetic Sanskrit. Lila Panga Taranga. That the Anga means glances, and Lila means playful. It's one thing to look around here and there, but it's another way to look around playfully. Have play, and your eyes are full of play. What kind of play? Rati Kali, Shringa Rati, Rasila, all dancing play and enjoying with Krishna, serving Krishna play. So this is the script. Their eyes are playful and they're like waves. They're, and it says they're Nilapala Shamala. So it doubly emphasizes the position and description of the eyes of the gopis. The eyes of the gopis are moving like waves, taranga, and we say taranga, taranga means waves, and they're washing, the waves of the eyes of the gopis glancing here and there are washing the landscape, are washing, are casting and washing the landscape of Vrindavan from Varsana to the Rasastai with rows and rows of blue lotus flowers. So their shamala eyes are casting blue lotus flower glances. So it's interesting that the color of her eyes is described as shamala. Shamala, of course, is the name for Krishna, and their eyes are the same color as Krishna. So we can guess they have the eyes are the same color as Krishna because they're always looking at Krishna. Just like sometimes the coward boys would joke with Krishna and say, "Your brother's white." Of course, he has a different mother and father, so that may account for it. The brother of Balaram is Rohini and Vasudev in Mathura. So he's white, they're golden, he's golden, they're golden white. So, Krishna's black, so the cowboy said, "Hey, he became black." He said, "Well, Balaram was born at noon. I was born at midnight. There's no moon." "There was no moon, so I came out black. Balaram came out in the midday when the moon was full potency, so it came out white." Oh, that's a good scientific explanation. But the real fact is, why is Krishna blue? That's a good question. What's the answer? What's she saying again here? What's she saying?
Someone I heard that the deep blue is the color of deepest love.
Yeah, that's written also. Shringarati, the color of Shringarati is ocean blue, very dark blue, like the ocean. The ocean, Atlantic Ocean, is infinitely deep and vast and wide and inconceivable and also mystical and a little scary because it's so deep you don't know what's inside there. Hammerhead sharks or stingrays or anything. You look at the water, it looks friendly. But you go inside the water, you may find your death. Oh, it's a nice blue ocean. And underneath the water is a killer whale waiting for a nice creation pakora. So, you're waiting for you to dive in that beautiful blue water. Then you'll dive in his belly. So, Radha Krishna Gandha Shibiyu, Rupa Goswami Pad, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu both explain that the color of Yashoda's body is Shamala Rang. And occasionally, rarely, but occasionally you see an authentic painting. I saw one painting by some Russian artist from ISKCON, the painting of painting Yashoda dark blue in color. Like monsoon blue, like Krishna, gray, not really dark blue, kind of grayish blue. Very nice, very beautiful. So Krishna's blue because his mother's blue. That's a side point. So the gopis' eyes are blue, and when they look at each other, when they look at the gopis are always talking, girls are talking, looking at each other, what are they thinking when they look in the eyes? Krishna. They may start to talk off-topic stuff, and then they look at the gopis, oh, Krishna. Krishna, they see your eyes, seeing other gopis' eyes. And then I say, well, I have to bring this back to Krishna. I have to stop talking about Vivaksha Sakis and complaining about my rivals and stuff. Let's talk about Krishna. So then it talks about their footsteps, Utfala Stala Pankajam. Their footsteps are blossoming in the Lila Stali of Vrindavan. Their pankaja, their lotus feet, and Rasapada Nyasa. So Rasapada Nyasa, what does that mean? They're placing their rasa-filled feet. How do Krishna's feet get full of rasa? If you want to charge up something, you have to plug it in, right? You have an electric car, you have to plug in the wire and charge your batteries. So Krishna, to get charged up with Ras, you have to touch the Rasa Padanyasta. You have to place his head at the feet of Radharani. So when Radharani puts her feet on Krishna's head, then he gets charged up with Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras, Mahabhav comes out of her forehead, enters the seat, and he washes the needle and gets to the top and he unplugs it. takes him off his forehead. What do you say out there? Come here. Come inside. Don't wait it out. Just come right here. Just sit here. Just plug yourself right down the middle. Here I am. Yeah, right. Welcome. So that's and then Radha Anudavatam. This word Anudavatam, Shri Radham Anudavatim, Brajakishoranam Gatam Bhavaye. So it says the Radharani is Anudavatam, running. Shri Radham Davatam. Radharani is running. So just see, that's how we should go for service. We should run for service. Just running, I'm running. So this word Madhav. You ever heard of Radha Madhav? Radha Madhav Kunja Bihari. So Madhav is the name for Krishna. It's also generally in Sanskrit dictionary. It says Madhav is the name of the husband of the goddess of fortune. The husband of Lakshmi Devi is Madhav, which means Vishnu or Narayan. But there's a rasic explanation of Madhav. Dava, the Dava para Madhav means to run, Dava. D-H-A-V-A, Dava means to run. And me means to run to mine. To run to, it means run to me. Run to me, run to mine. So who is Krishna running to? He's running to mine. Who is his? Radharani. So Mara means one who runs to Krishna. Dava means running, and Ma means me. Means Mom also means Mama to Bob. Mama to Bob means my possession. I'm running to my possession. Because love is an obsession, and love is a possession. And love is a confession. And love is a succession of fights and makeups. Right? So this is Madhav. Radham Anudavatim. So let's see what's going on with this purport here. There's another Swami describes the Leela in the purport, which we'll try to extract here. It's scattered throughout three pages. That's four, there's one. Okay, yeah, Leela, here it goes, here, one. The Manjri is seeing, the Manjri, that means you, Manjri, any Manjri, is, it's okay, seeing how the beautiful gopis rush out to meet Krishna, leaving their milk or cooking rice, etc., boiling away on their stoves, and leaving their husbands behind, their parents, their homes, and everything to run to see Krishna, who is calling them with his flute. His flute is singing, come here, come here. Come here, come here, come here. Come here, come here. Eat her out. Eat her out. Meow, meow. He, Krishna's calling them. So, the Kinkari sees the wonderful passion of the gopis when they're rushing out to for the rendezvous with Krishna. The gopis are in their passion and attachment and loving ecstasy. The gopis are forgetting their bodies, their homes, their moral codes. And they're painting a beautiful picture here of their sweet passion. This is not some fanciful story, but it's a description of the genuine of a genuine spiritual experience. Because the Nityaparishads of Krishna in the spiritual world are called Ragatmika. Ragatmika. Atmika means me, myself, my mind, my Atma. That means, and rag means colored with an intense passion and attachment. Colored like red, blue, yellow. Colored with an intense passionate attachment to whom? To Krishna. So when there's attachment and affection, attachment and love, then it's followed by surrender, seva, dedication, and affection. So all these are part of the qualities, the heartly and mental qualities of gopis. So this is a description of a genuine spiritual experience. They're experiencing the flute of Krishna is acting as a viva udipan, an excitement of the love that's always in their heart. They're always loving Krishna in amorous mood, and they're waiting for an opportunity to express that amor at any given time of the day. They just need some signal, some indication, some invitation, some connection with Krishna, and they're on their way. So he played the flute and said, hey, come on. What's taking you so long? I'm waiting. Okay, that's because they're on a broom, high gear, 100-yard dash. So Leela goes on. There is nothing more beautiful and sweet in the whole world than this. It is so sweet, this passionate Raghavika Bhakti of the Gopis, that can control even Sri Govinda himself. With the blue lotus flowers of their glances, the Gopis are painting the sky blue. So we wonder why the sky blue. The five-year-old kid always asks the mother, "Oh, mommy, why is the sky blue?" "You don't know? That's the glances of the Gopis." That's the mothers in Gopi Bhav. The mothers in Sukha, the mothers in Sakharaji say, "That's Krishna's color reflected from his body." But this is a proper Vrishvasi mother. So she favors Radharani's side. "Oh, this sky is blue. Why is it blue?" "Because it's the blue lotus eyes of the Gopis have painted it blue. They're looking around, where's Krishna? Where's that blue coming from?" "No, it's coming from there." Looking that way, the whole sky is becoming painted blue. Of course, it's nighttime, but that's what she described. "And there are millions of such beautiful Gopi eyes and breasts. It is as if the waves of their playful glances are wandering around looking for Krishna, Vamshidhari, Krishna Murari, Tomavina Dukhari, Apujayi, Swami Bhaja." It's Mirabai Bhajan. Mirabai. And Virabha from Dwarkadish. Giridhari Lal. She was kind of interesting. She called Krishna Giridhari, who's Rajlila, and she worshiped Krishna as Dwarka, as the queen of Dwarka. So she's really got really a lot of mixture rasas there. But she's recognized and glorified as a great rasic, pure Vaishnavi of Krishna, no doubt. We went to our Bhajan Puja, remember? That guy was really excited to tell us all about Mirabai. Near Radha Damodar Temple. Near Radha Damodar and Shaji Mandir. Mirabai Kunj, it's called Mirabai Kunj, I mean. So Krishna is stealing the hearts of the Gopis. And he's stolen the jewel of their minds from their hearts. Now he's run away. And the waves of the Gopis' eye glances are acting like searchlights looking for the thief. The thieves always steal in the nighttime. So Krishna went out at nighttime at 12 o'clock at night, play his flute to do his theft. Like every UP chore comes at night, 12 o'clock. So he's out of chore. Comes at 12 o'clock at night, everyone's sleeping. The husbands are sleeping, he steals their wives right out from underneath their nose. And they're snoring, making too much noise. So the cousin wakes up and says, "What am I going to see you next week?" "Oh, I sleep in the living room. You're making too much noise snoring." Okay. The worst. They're a coward man, they're a little slow, you know. Pashu booty. So their eyes are searchlights looking for the thief. Sure about going. When the most valuable thing has been stolen from the safe in their wall, householder becomes very disturbed and runs out of the house trying to find his stolen jewels. In the same way, the Gopis became totally bewildered when the jewel of their love for Krishna is stolen from the chamber of their hearts. They run out around frantically trying to find the thief. Okay, that's really good. Look, you have to catch that thief. Charge! go to Delhi, some old markets in Delhi, like Connaught Place or Carol Bog, and oftentimes you go there regularly, you'll hear somebody yelling, short, short. If somebody comes to the market and steals a lady's gold chain, purse, and runs away, there's so many people, you can't chase them. And they know how to run like rabbits through the crowd, you know. Thieves, you know, they run like, by the time you know, by the time it's stolen, you look, you can't just see a million people running. And the guy already ran around the block, you can't even see him. You don't see anybody running. It was just a great place for thieves. And Vrindavan is a great place for Krishna's thievery. Lots of trees lie behind, deep forests, caves in the mountains. You see all these pocketbook around the cave. So he's there hiding under the trees in the bank of a playing his flute and calling all the gopis. Like how incomparable is the sweetness of the gopis following Radharani. By following Radharani, their beauty and sweetness increases even more. When the gopis run down the footpath following Radharani, it looks like a row of moons following a moon. If I wrote this sentence, I would have said, looks like a row of crescent moons following the full moon. Looks like a row of Arachandras following the Purnachandra. There's a big difference between a gopi and Radharani. All of them arrive on the bank of Yamuna in the circle of the Rasa dance. How wonderful is the beauty of Yamuna, where all kinds of flowers are blossoming. Kunda, Jyoti, Malati, Jati, Jasmine, Jasmine, Mandara. Soft breeze is carrying drops of Yamuna water, and the fragrance of these flowers scents the whole forest, making it even more delectable and celestial than Indra's heavenly gardens. The bees are agitated by the fragrant flowers and swiftly buzz around them. So I guess the bees are working overtime. Usually the bees quit work at sunset, but these bees they're greedy bees. They want to work, they're doing night shift also. Because when Krishna plays the flute, all the flowers start blossoming, even at nighttime, which they usually aren't. Because Krishna's flute is more powerful than the rising sun, so it has the same effect on the flowers as the rising sun. Everything reverses its nature. When Krishna plays his flute, all of nature reverses its nature. I'll sleep. Confirmed. When Krishna plays the flute, all nature reverses its characteristic. Srupa Lakshana. Rivers flow to the ocean. When Krishna plays the flute, they flow back to the mountain source. When Krishna plays the flute, the flowers are closed because their nature is enclosed in sunset. When he plays his flute, they open up. Everything acts, birds are quiet at night, they're chup at night, they're meditating on sleeping at night. When Krishna plays the flute, they all start singing and chirping. So this is what's happening here. The flowers are all blooming because of the flute playing. And so it's very delightful, fragrant flowers are sitting there, bees are going crazy, drinking honey, getting intoxicated. And blooming flowers are floating on the Yamuna like lilies, lotuses. A full moon is shining in the sky, shattering Vrindavan with soma ras, nectar. The Manjari is seeing, so we should also see as we meditate, see millions of lotus flowers growing in a circle of rasa dance. So this metaphor comparing the lotus gopis to lotus flowers. So in the circle of rasa dance, It's a circle of gopis, not a circle of flowers. It's not a wreath of flowers. It's 2 billion gopis in the Rasa dance. Bhagavad Brahman says Maharaja dance, 2 billion gopis. I don't know who counted, but that's what it said. So these gopis are not fixed in one place like an ordinary lotus. These lotuses are moving and they're shuffling gopis' lotus feet. When this vision, which is like a bright lightning strike of Radhika's mercy, disappears from the eyes of the meditating sadhaka, the meditating sadhaka will humbly pray, "Alas, aho, when will I be so fortunate to see the gopis' sweet meeting with Krishna in the Rasa dance?" That's something to hanker for. Everyone hankers for so many things. I want this, I want to get this, I want to get that. I want to see this movie, I want to see this site, I want to see this pilgrimage site. This place on my bucket list, I have to see this place before I die. But for the sadhakas, what's on their list of things, desirable things to see is a vision of the Rasa with Krishna Gopi and Krishna Gopi on the banks of the Yamuna. That's what he desires to feast his or her eyes on. So this verse is describing a meditation, different description of the Prem Ashraya Gopis, the Vibhav Ashraya, and the Stairati and Madhurati, and their glances are Anubhavas, and shuffling of feet is Anubhava, the expression of their hearts, like the different aspects of Rasa are pointing at you. So there's some points in the Tattva, points of Tattva in the commentary by Sri Anandas Babaji, which we'll review. When we chant the Kam Gayatri or Gopal mantra, every Diksha mantra of a Thakurjira Devata has a Bija mantra. There's the mantra, there's a Bija, which is the seed of the mantra. The Bija actually opens up the Bija. Bija mantra is like a key to open up the treasure chest of the mantra, following that Bija. So if you worship Durga or Yogamaya, the Bija mantra for Durga or Yogamaya is Rim, H-R-I-M, Rim, Rim. And the mantra for Saraswati is Aim, Aim, A-I-M, but it's Aim, Aim. And the mantra for Radharani, Sita, Lakshmi is Shreem, Shreem. So the mantra for Krishna, Narayan, Vishnu Tattva, all Vishnu Tattva, whether it's Garanga, Dvaita, Mahavishnu, Nityananda, Balaram, or Garanga, or Krishna, or Ramchandra, is Kleem. So this Kleem Bija mantra is packed up in Krishna's flute. This Bija mantra is packed up in the sound, in the swara, in the Venuswara, Venunad, Venuswara, Vamshiswara, Vamshinad, or Krishna's flute is the Kam Gayatri. Excuse me, it is the Kam Gayatri, but specifically the Bija mantra of the Kam Gayatri. This is described by Prabhupada Saraswati in his mantra Artadipa. It's called Kam Gayatri Yakya or something like that. His explanation of Kam Gayatri by Prabhupada, the same author, Prabhupada Saraswati. So we're understanding that, so Anandas Babaji is speaking that here. He's saying this unclear, sweet flute song of Krishna is just like an attractive mantra which causes the calm beast to vibrate. And this sentence is taken from the Kamatika commentary of Vishnachakravarti on the beginning of the Rasa dance, verse number 2, chapter 29. He says in the commentary there, Jagokalam, Jagokalam Vamajisham Manoharam. The Jagokalam, the music of the flute, attracts all the minds of the gopis, Vamajisham, the eyes of the contrary gopis. It stole their minds and hearts. So then he explains that he says, Jiva Goswami also comments also. He says the word kala means unclear sound. So Jagakala is unclear, the flute sound is unclear. So the kala refers to the first two syllables of the Kamgaiji. Kalakara, Makara, like this. It's the Bija Mantra of the Kamgaiji. So as Krishna's playing the flute, Jiva Goswami says, each note of the flute that's coming out of his flute is like a bana. Like it says, Kamadeva has Pushpabana. The Kamgaiji has a mantra, Pushpabana, which is a name for a cubit. He has Pushpabana, he has five flower, Panch Pushpabana, five flower arrows. Rupam Gandham Sparsha, Shabda, etc., Rasam. So one of the arrows is his form, one of the arrows is his fragrance, one of the arrows is his voice, one of the arrows is the taste of his lips and tongue and Babra Slot. The other arrow is the touch of his lotus hand. So this, all those five arrows are following the Bija. The Bija invokes Cupid. The Kambis is a Bija of erotic love. The seed of erotic love, the seed which fructifies in full-blown amorous lilas, is Klim. So this Klim was repeatedly vibrating Krishna's flute. Klim, 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 Klim. With every note of his flute, Klim, the mantra Klim was being sent through the airways. And that mantra Klim carried with it not only the personification of Cupid or Kandarva, but it carried with five arrows of Cupid. Form, smell, taste, rupam, etc. That's what is said by Jiva Goswami. So in this way, he's calling the gopis for the rasa dance. Then he quotes a verse from Rishina Mani Anantadas Babaji to describe what is the power of this flute. It seems like it's just music, Veena Nad, Vamsi Nad, Vamsi Swara. But he said, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna's flute is a thunder, like Indra's thunderbolt. It smashes mountains. What are the mountains that smashes? It smashes, breaks up the mountains of the gopis' patience. They get agitated, lose their cool, get disturbed, get attracted. Or this wind coming from the flute, Krishna's blowing air into the flute, and the air is acting as a powerful tornado. The wind coming out of that flute is like a powerful tufan tornado to blow on the flames of the gopis' lusty desires. The lusty desires are always smoldering like coals in the hearts of the gopis. When Krishna plays his flute, it's like somebody turns a fan on speed five above the coals. And pretty soon the coals get whipped up with the air and start bursting in the flame. So that's what happens. That's what he wants to happen. So the flute is his greatest assistant. Secret weapon. This is laser beam. Iron candle. Laser beam, whatever, all kinds of modern weapons have now. they're using to knock off each other. Laser beams that knock off airplanes out of the sky and stuff. It's happening. They're using Israel. I saw on Facebook. They shoot a laser beam in the air, it blows up a plane. So the guy in the plane can see, the last thing he says before he blows up, I see the light. I saw the light, I am Vermont, boom. So he goes down with a bang, literally. So the question is asked oftentimes, were there Mundries in the Ras Lila? How do you say no? You guys are afraid to raise your hand. The answer is yes, they were there. What's the Pramana? What's the proof? Utkali Kavalri by Rupa Goswami Pad. Verse 42, Utkali Kavalri from Stavamala. It's one poem from Stavamala. He describes the Mandri saying, oh Rarani, will I be at the Rasa dance and see Krishna whisk you away from all the gopis? So to describe that scene, Mandri must be there. And there's also other references also. That's the main one that not thus includes. Because if you read the ancient poems of the great Rasikjanas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Chandi Das Vidyavati, I don't know necessarily they were Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but great Rasik Vaishnavas, worship Radha Krishna, like Jayadeva Goswami, Vidyavati Chandi Das, and Bilba Mangala Thakur, they all describe the mood of the Sakis, the mood of the Sakis of the Rasadan. But then Nathas Bhavaji makes a statement in this part of the, answering the question where Mundris and Rasadan. So in other words, Chani Das Vidyavati Jayadev, all the ancient poets and Vaishnavas describe the mood of the Sakis. And the president of the Sakis Rasadan, that's how already understood. So Anantananda says, what is the difference, the exact difference between a Sakya and a Mandri? This was not revealed to the world before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the acharyas of his sampradaya. For example, Rupa Goswami has clearly described Mandri Bhav and Mandri Seva during the Rasa dance, and how this position of Mandri and Seva is superior and more confidential than the Sakhi Bhav. In terms of social hierarchy, Vrindavan social hierarchy, Sakhis, Priyanarma Sakhis, etc., are in a higher social category than Kingris, Dasis, and Mandri. Lita and Mishaka and Asasaki, they're higher, supremely fortunate. They're Yuteshwaris, group leaders, and have their own Astamandris under each one of them. But that's in terms of social hierarchy, in terms of respect, society respect. They're higher. But in terms of intimacy and access to the pastimes, intimate pastimes of Hare Krishna, the Mandris are higher. Because where the Sakis have to go out of the Kunj, when the Sakis leave the Kunj, Mandris enter the Kunj. So when the Sakis, their seva is completed, they can't go beyond that point, beyond that degree of intimacy. They don't have the adhikar, or the acceptance by Radharani, or the trust of Radharani to go that far. They say, excuse me, I gotta go now. They go, and then Rupa Mandri, Tulsi Mandri enter inside. So that's why Nathas saying that this Mandri Bhav and the position of Mandri and Kinkari, it was never revealed before to the Lord Chaitanya. That's why Mandri Bhav's, Sakhi Bhav has been there with Neem Bhargacharya 1,000 years ago, and Jayadeva Goswami, all these poets. It's not a new thing, Sakhi Bhav. But Mandri Bhav, Kinkari Bhav is a new thing, the sole contribution and introduction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this point is repeatedly mentioned by Nandas to establish the unique aspect and contribution of our Sampradaya. So, the Nandasi quotes a bhajan by Vidyavati to describe Radharani's Abhisar running to the Rasa dance. Wherever Radharani's footsteps are placed, lotus flowers start blooming. Wherever the effulgence of her body radiates, at that place appears waves of electric lightning. That's pretty good. Bijari Taranga. Bijari in Hindi is a Bijli, Bijli, Bijli. Electricity is Bijli. Bijari, Bijari. This is Bangalore, British Rajasthan or something. Bijari Taranga. What a wonderful golden girl I saw it enter my heart. Whenever Radharani opens her eyes, lotus flowers become manifest. Whenever Radharani smiles, nectar gets distributed everywhere. Whenever Radharani casts her crooked glances, Cupid shoots hundreds of thousands of arrows. Kutiya Kataka Madana Sara Laka. You think of Kutiya means Radharani's sister-in-law. Kutiya means crooked, because she has kinky hair. Kutiya has kinky hair, like wavy hair, you know, like frizzle, or like goes like out this far or something. She is a sight to behold. Kukila. She's married to, who's she married to? Kukila, I don't know. I don't know who she married. So, the text of the side, the crooked glance of Ramani release lacks of Madan Sara. Madan Sara, Sara means arrow, and Madan means Cupid. Lacks of arrows. So when Krishna gets shot with those arrows, he's finished. So that's the end of the song. That's why we love it. Read the translation again, a different version of it. See what kind of poetic genius comes out of this one. He titled this verse 90 of Radha's Sunidhi. The sweetness of Radha's girlfriend, Sakhi's, dancing behind her. Every step is a dance in the spiritual world. By the rippling waves of playful glances, making all directions dark like blue lotus flowers, by their firm breaths oscillating to and fro as if rows of golden hillocks, meaning small mountains, are swaying in midair, by placing the footsteps in the Rasa Stali, arena of the Rasa, makes the earth look like roses. Running quickly, dancing closely behind Sri Radha, I meditate on all the Braja damsels. Dancing closely behind Radharani. I guess by dancing your way to Krishna, you're getting prepared to dance in the Rasa dance. That's the way every step is a dance. So Radharani said, let's dance, girls. They'd run down a footpath dancing down a footpath. That's exciting. So we'll go on and read text 91. Rasini. This verse describes Radharani's beauty in the Rasa dance. We heard about the beauty of the Sakis running behind Radharani and Abhisar to meet Krishna Rasa dance. This is the beauty of Radharani herself when she gets to the Rasa dance. What does Krishna see when he first sees Radharani arriving in the Rasa stall? Jisho Twai Rasambuddha Madhura Minavat Brahmayata Stano Twai Sudasaras Yaha Chakravak Iva Yiva. Who comes through a Tarangani Twai Vikasi Hemambujam Milantu Mai Radhike Tavakriva Tranga Chata. Translation. Oh, Sri Radhike, your eyes are like frisky fish, means like chancho, swimming around in an ocean of rasa. Aha, your breasts are like two chakravaka birds, which are two red geese. You can look up on your mobile phone on Google search Chakravaka and shows a picture of it. They're geese. They float in the water and paddle around like ducks. They also swim in the air and have their beak. But the thing is, the shape of they have the neck and then this part of the body, like from the neck down to their belly or wherever underneath where their feet are, it's kind of bulbous. It's bulbous in shape, and they have reddish brown feathers, so it looks like the shape of a woman's breast covered with kumkum. That's why women's breasts are often compared to chakravaka birds. And chakravaka birds, unlike all birds, some birds are living by themselves, but chakravaka birds are always side by side. The male and female are never, only separated at night time, because they are cursed by a sage. Sage was meditating under a tree at night, and these two lovebirds, literally, these two chakravaka birds were making out, or kissing or whatever, making noise. And he cursed and he said, "You guys are disturbing me. I curse you to be separated from us every night." They wouldn't be swooshing around every night. So he'd be peaceful. You know? Nice curse. How's husband follow Brahmacharya, you know? Keep the butter in the freezer and the gas in the stove. You bring the butter on the stove and it melts. So when I gave Brahmacharya classes in ISKCON, he used to say, "Brahmacharya's your butter, and women are a stove." Chula. Bring the butter too close to the stove, and it melts. It's a funny analogy. So keep the butter in the freezer. I'm going to just stay in the freezer. Come out for breakfast and go back to the job. So that's why chakravaka, because they're always together, and the shape and the color and the fact are always together. Like a woman's breasts, they're always together. And when they put cocoa on the top, they look red in that shape like that. Look, that's if you ever wonder why this analogy of chakravaka. When you look at the bird, it's like these modern freighters, ocean liners. In the old days, a boat was like this, was pointed. But the engineers, nautical engineers, found out this isn't aerodynamic. So they put a nose, they put a nose on the bottom of the boat. It goes like this, there's a bulbous, it looks like a gumdrop. It's a round projection in front of the boat, which breaks the ocean waves, reduces the drag on the hull of the boat. So you save money and go faster. Interesting point.
So, yeah, so you wonder, so this is a comparison like that. So they look like, so they're always floating together in a lake, so, and they have that reddish-brown color and the shape. So the poet is saying, your breaths look like two chakravakas floating in a nectar lake of your body. Oh, Suratrangini. Suratrangi, Surata means the heavenly plans, and the river, Rangini means river, flowing. The river that flows there is a form of Ganga, it's called Suratrangi Ganga. But Suratrangini is also an interesting word, because Surata is abbreviated, is a Sanskrit word, which means erotic enjoyment. Surata. But Suratrangini, it means waves of the Ganga and heavenly plans. So I say, Rarani, you're like a Suratrangini. It's translated here. You say you're again, you're like a Ganga river or a lady enjoying love. So the real meaning is that. It's a glorification, Rarani. So he says that, Mukham, your face is beautiful and blue is blooming like a golden lotus. So hey, Mambujam. And then he's praying that the waves of Rarani's mercy will splash over him. So we're also, of course, in that mood of praying to Rarani, glorifying Rarani's Nam Rukun Lila, and praying for a wave of her mercy. Like, you know, people get on a surfboard and they catch one big wave and they ride all the way to the beach. You know, you get away, you can ride right up to the beach, go to your board and walk home. Like, you finish the day of surfing, we used to do that, sport or play or whatever you call it. You get away, when we go, get one, turn around, go back, get another, go back and forth. You get tired, you take one, you pull right up the sand, jump off the field. You just stop moving, you know, everybody carries you, and you go up to the beach, you get off the board, pick it up, and keep running your car and go home. So the devotee is praying for a way of that mercy. Raike Talakripa. Please give me a Taranga, a wave of your mercy. So that's word for word. And I think we'll describe the points of the purport. And there's no Leela in this purport, just the points are described by Nandas Babaji. So we'll describe those points tomorrow, points of Tattva, and for understanding, verse 91 tomorrow. Rara Sunidhi Ki, Prabhupada Saraswati Ki, Nandas Babaji Maharaj Ki, Jai Jai Shri Ram.